All right, why don't we go ahead and get started. Good afternoon, everyone. Oh, really? Okay, everyone's full from lunch. I get it. All right. Well, good afternoon. My name is Jay Schmelzer. I'm one of the directors of program management on the Visual Studio team at Microsoft, so I know that pretty much gives you absolutely no idea what I actually do. But just to give you a little context on who I am, I'm part of the engineering team on Visual Studio. My team is specifically responsible for a number of the developer experiences in Visual Studio. Really, I think about it as when you're building line of business applications. So there's a couple places where we go extremely deep. So around SharePoint, Office, and Azure, if you do solutions building on top of those or targeting those environments with Visual Studio, then my team is here to try to make your life easier. In addition to that, we also are the team that's responsible for the newest sort of member of the Visual Studio product family, and that is Visual Studio Lightswitch. I've been with Lightswitch, I was the first person to work on it when sort of we had the idea a number of years ago of creating an experience for building business applications that would just dramatically reduce the amount of time you spent thinking about what I call plumbing, right? That kind of common, repetitive, do it over and over again, doesn't add any real value to your application, but you got to do it stuff. We wanted to see how much of that we could just make go away and just take care of it for you so you could focus on the real unique needs of your application, the real value you were providing as part of building a custom solution. So just so we kind of all have some context and I have a feel for everyone's experience over here, maybe do a little post-lunch exercise. So maybe with a show of hands, how many folks are using Lightswitch today? Okay. How many folks have heard of Lightswitch? All right, that's better. And how many folks were at the keynote this morning? Okay. So you were those of you that were using it were the smattering of applause I heard backstage when Jason showed it. So there's a lot of things new in Lightswitch in this wave. And I've got another session on Thursday, and what I thought I would do is rather than go and do a bunch of sort of what's new in the release candidate, I would spend this session focused on the stuff that Jason showed this morning and spend almost the entire time talking about that. Then in Thursday's session, we can kind of, back up in terms of release timeframes, and we'll look at, you know, everything that's new in Visual Studio 2012 as it relates to Lightswitch, plus some more advanced stuff, if that makes sense. I thought the way we would do it is actually to go and take that HTML application that Jason sort of had pulled out of the oven, and we'll go file new project on that and build up everything he showed plus a whole lot of stuff he didn't show in the next, hour and 10 minutes or so. Does that sound decent? So I'll go through a few slides. I really just want to set some context of what we were trying to do, the kinds of scenarios we were thinking about when we were designing this HTML update for the product, and then we'll spend most of the time actually in the product doing demos and building some things. So we have a nice sized group here. So I got a lot to go through, but if you've got a burning question, feel free to throw up your hand. If I don't see you, yell at me. That usually works as well. This is being recorded, so I will try to repeat the questions and those kind of things. Also, it has been recorded, so if there's things you see you like, I'm not offended when people applause. That's okay with me. So if you like something, you want to cheer, clap, yell, that's great. And of course, the team will enjoy it too when they get to hear the recording later. So, anyway, with that, we have when people ask me what is Lightswitch, this is always my response. And actually, it's a little bit different than it used to be, mainly because of this addition we just announced today. So, I used to say Lightswitch is the easiest way to build a line of business application for the desktop and the cloud. And lately, I've realized that with the addition of this HTML stuff that we can finally talk about, I actually think it's really more the easiest way to create a modern line of business application for the enterprise. Now, I think it's important to spend a few minutes on that last term, enterprise. We still are targeting and talking about and focusing on, the departmental kinds of application, the quick get it done kind of application. We're not talking about, that application that you're building that has, a million concurrent users and those kinds of things. That's probably not what you want to use LightSwitch for. There's not a scalability concern. We actually test it extremely thoroughly, and we go extremely big in terms of number of users. We go extremely big in terms of amount of data behind the application. But it's really more about where the development experience is at right now. And I think when you're thinking about those targeted kinds of departmental solutions, that's really the sweet spot we were designing for. So that's what I mean when I say for the enterprise, right? Regardless of whether big enterprise, little enterprise, departmental or not, you know, great way to get applications done quickly. This morning, Jason announced that we are adding HTML support to LightSwitch, so you'll be able to create client applications with LightSwitch using HTML technologies, and that's what we're going to spend most of the time talking about. Applause is good. It's definitely one of the most requested things, and I have to admit, as being a member of the team, it was quite frustrating for a number of months knowing that people wanted us to do that and we couldn't tell you yet. So the team is very excited about that. So what were we thinking about when we were creating this? Well, what it really came down to is in addition to being a designer on the product and setting the direction for where we go, one of the things I also had the opportunity to do is go out and talk to a lot of people about what we're building and about what they're trying to build that obviously feeds into what we create in the product. And one of the things that I think everybody in the room probably has come across is that the proliferation of devices as making their way into the enterprise. We do these things called executive briefing sessions on campus periodically where, you know, C-level folks will come in, you know, CIOs, CTOs, those kind of folks, and talk to us about what they're trying to do. We'll talk to them about what we're doing. The number of times where a group of people come in, the first thing they'll tell me is, we're a Microsoft shop. Great, this should be a lot of fun. Let's talk about stuff. I sit down in a big conference table and I look around and I see a bunch of devices that I know aren't running Microsoft software because they have some little goofy fruit emblem on the back of them. And I'm like, okay, how'd these get here? Well, I use it at home and now I want to, you know, take it to work. The battery life is awesome. It's lightweight, all of those kind of things, right? So how do we think about enabling you to create applications that can run well on those kinds of devices that people can use in that environment? Also looking at the characteristics of those applications, right? It's a device you hold, so you interact primarily with your finger and touch. So we thought a lot about how do we create an application that's really going to be great for touch-centric kinds of experiences. We also, when it comes to business applications, a trend we were seeing was that a lot of the applications people want on those devices first, they really are a companion to an existing or another application that they use, maybe at, you know, their desk or at their PC, right? Something that has a keyboard for hardcore data entry. I see some clapping up here, so it seems like it's a good direction. So thinking about it that way, that also allows us to think about these applications in a much more tailored way. Like what I've found when I look at what people are building is it's not the big monolithic app anymore on these devices, right? It's a lot of smaller apps. Right? And they all work together, and you're moving in and out of them all the time, and they're very focused, they're very tailored to a specific task that you want to get in and get out of. That's what we were looking at. And that's the kind of focus that we had. I'll look at some more examples here in a second. Obviously, other big design points we had, we wanted to make sure that if you were a LightSwitch developer today, that what you were learning, the experiences you had, would carry forward, and you wouldn't have to learn a whole new way of interacting with the product to build this HTML client. We also wanted to look at how much we could reuse of what you already worked on and have it apply to this client. Since it is a companion, was a core scenario, you'll see how we can reuse all that back-end server logic that we may have already written. And we also wanted to make sure that it was standards compliant. We looked at the devices that are out there, and there's a lot of them, and they're run a lot of different things. And so the best way we felt we could go and be successful allowing you to build applications that target those devices was to go with a standards-based approach. So as we'll see, what we build on is just HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. Under the covers, we do take advantage of some existing frameworks that are becoming popular. That's another thing that was a core design tenet for LightSwitch from the beginning was, you know, as much as I love building software, I don't want to invent things that are already well-known. So I want to build on some existing best practices, some existing best frameworks that are out there. And then just create a great tooling experience for you to interact with those. That does two things. Makes my life a lot easier, because I don't have to create the underlying frameworks. But it also makes your life a lot easier, because as you learn those frameworks, if you use LightSwitch and you need to step down to the next level, it is just whatever that technology is. I mean, it's not something special. We didn't get it 100% there with the first version of the Silverlight client. I think we're way closer this time, and that's one of the things I'll show you. So under the covers, it's HTML, JavaScript, CSS. jQuery Mobile plays a big part in this as well, since we're going after devices. So when I talked about these applications, there's three main categories of applications that we really thought about as design points. I'm not saying you can't build other types of applications. These are just the three that we really felt represented a good spectrum of what people are doing. First, I think of as self-service applications, and really the simple ones. Some of these get really complex. They have lots of wizards and all kinds of crazy things that drive you through the experiences. But if I think about the most basic self-service application I'm trying to replace with Lightswitch today, today it's implemented with a piece of paper clipped to a clipboard, right? Go to a doctor's office for the first time, and fill out the form, and you're like, well, envisioning that in the future, you may get handed a device to do that with instead, so there's not duplicate data entry and those things. So that's one category of application we were thinking about. Oops. The other one I like to refer to as field operations. So this is the idea that you've got a mobile workforce. It's a little bit of what Jason's scenario and what our demo scenario will be today, the idea of an independent contractor that works for a moving company and needs to go out and assess the place and how much stuff someone has maybe before the packers and the movers show up, make sure there's anything unique. So this is a case where you've definitely got a companion and you're out there in the field and you're doing light data editing, a lot of data viewing, and then maybe the other data you're gathering is just richer based on the context of where you're at. So it's pictures, it's sensor data, it's those kinds of things that are a little bit more free form that you want to gather, bring back to you, and then maybe you're going to massage that when you're back at the office sitting at your PC and are doing some more hardcore data entry. Another one is really around interactive content and catalog kind of experiences. So while this does tend to be like a little bit of a consumer experience, it's still more of an experience where the employee of the business has handed you a device to interact with. I know the most common example of this I see are at restaurants, where I've seen wine lists, for example, was the first one. They'd hand you a tablet and you're scrolling through the wine list. In the Seattle area, we're seeing lots of restaurants now where the entire menu is actually on that device, and you just kind of scroll through and pick what you want and that kind of stuff. So those kinds of experiences are things we're thinking about there. So again, very, very immersive, very interactive. The data entry is really more about, yep, I want that, I want that. You're not there trying to type in long strings of text and those kind of things. So with that, what I thought we'd do is, like, as I said, I promise, let's do the rest of the time in demo. You guys just had lunch, so you might fall asleep if I do too many slides, right? So. Yep. See, woohoo is good. That's fine. As I said, I don't get offended with cheers and stuff. So, all right. Let's switch over to my demo machine. Certainly. So, good question. So the question is, does the Lightswitch HTML client replace the Silverlight client? Short answer, no. I think of it as a companion. Right, so Silverlight client is still there. Great way to quickly build a desktop-centric experience, right? Like the one we're seeing on the screen right here, right? Something where we're intending to sit down and do some data entry with a keyboard and a mouse. You know, if I'm going to go in here and create new customers and things like that, those are quite a few fields. I don't really want to do that this way, right? So that's what the Silverlight client is still all about, is that experience. This HTML one is much more around a device-centric experience, lighter on the hardcore data entry. Okay, good question. Thanks for asking. So here I have just the standard Silverlight client. This is a slightly different version than what Jason showed this morning. It does show off some of the new things that we'll get into on Thursday around the new shell and the new look and feel and those kind of things. The reason I wanted to bring it up is just show you, this is all I've got right now is this client. The first thing that we'll do, sorry, let me switch over to this part, is actually get started with the HTML work. So I'm going to go in here, I'm going to right-click, and I'm going to say Add Client. And you see we now have the HTML client. This is one of those clap moments, by the way. Just kidding. I promise. I won't beg for applause anymore. So let's go call it Mobile Client. This is going to go off, and it's going to create and add that new client to my existing solution. And usually it does it much faster than that. So go in here. Let's pin all these guys. You back. Okay, so when we look at this, you see what we've done is we've added, if I scroll down, we'll have a new client down here. So what does this introduce? Well, it introduces the fact that we now componentize LightSwitch a little bit more. So we can now have multiple clients sitting in the same solution, a little bit better componentization than we had before. And we'll go into details on Thursday, but a lot of stuff has been done to try to make it LightSwitch a lot easier for multiple people to work in team development, larger solutions by doing some of that. By default, we're wired up to that existing service, so we're still using that same set of data services that we created for the Silverlight client. We can now automatically start just consuming those out of the LightSwitch client. Just like we did in the other experience, we'll go in and we'll start creating our UI. So I'll go in, I'll add a screen. First screen we'll do, you see again, template driven. Now again, as Jason said this morning, we don't even have bits available yet of this, right? So we aren't even to the alpha build stage, which also means be nice if things don't go quite right. So it's not done by any stretch, right? But you're seeing the intention where we're going. So set of templates here, we'll add more. We can go in, let's select the browse. We'll go ahead and just like we could before, we can select entities, we can select queries. Let's just go look at our upcoming appointments and say okay. We'll add that to our project. Let's just go run in real quick and see what we got at this point. Just like with everything else in Visual Studio, when we launch a web application, we will launch it based on your default browser on your machine. So in my case, it's Internet Explorer, but if you had Chrome, Firefox, whatever, we would launch into that. And so here you see I've got my default application. Because I'm running on a PC, you don't see it, but if I was on a touch device, this is a virtual scrolling list, just like you'd expect. All that stuff has been done under the covers for you with LightSwitch. So we're loading, we're still paging data in, but we'll do it based on, you know, scrolling of the list and so forth. In this case, we only have, you know, one page of data because I just pulled down the upcoming requests. Okay, let's build this out a little bit more. We've seen how we can go do a simple browse screen. Let's add a couple more screens here. We'll add a screen for viewing the appointment details. So I'll use a detail screen. We'll select appointment. See, just like we could before, we see all the related data. We can pull in all the stuff that's related to appointment. We'll say okay. Now, one of the things that's new with this HTML client is we've tried to go and make it even easier to get common things done throughout the development environment, so without having to write a bunch of code. So if I go in here and look at my browse upcoming appointments screen, and I choose the list, if I come over to the properties, you'll see that what we've started to do is add a set of common actions that you can then associate a behavior with for things that happen in the ID. So in this case, all we have is tap right now, but you can imagine swipe and things like that will also become actions that we will surface. So what I'm going to do is when someone taps on an appointment in the list, I want to bring up that detail form associated with it. So we'll go in, we'll choose to show the appointment detail, and then we'll set up the binding information here. So we'll say, upcoming dot selected item, and that just sets up the binding to pass that through to our client. So if I run this again, what we should see is, in this case, we also just will probably take it out before the final product because it's a little annoying, but for demos, it works well. You'll probably see a little glyph that should show up here that indicates there's another action that comes off of this list rather than just scrolling. So you see I have a little glyph over there. If I click this and scroll in, you see I've got a basic detail screen created. And I've got the ability to go and look at, you know, photos, rooms, all the associated data with that detail screen. Let's go ahead and just add one more detail screen. We'll add one to look at the details for the room. So we'll just go in here. Add screen, detail screen, we'll say room, and we can do the room details and the inventory items is fine. And just like I did last time, what I'll do is I'll come over here to the appointment detail screen, look at the rooms, switch the property grid. In the tap, we'll just choose that we want to this time show the room detail. And again, just like last time, let's go in here and say we want the rooms dot selected item. And so now I can go, and when we run, we'll be able to tap through those things. Okay? Pretty straightforward. Nothing too crazy, hopefully, but what you expected in terms of an experience, right? So that's just the basics, right? And again, we're not done, but you know, you can see that you can sort of see where we're headed with this. So that's the basics of working with them. Let's go and make it look a little bit better, right? We can do a little bit of layout work to kind of clean this thing up a bit. So let's start with the appointment details screen. And what we'll do is let's sort of refactor this around a bit so we have a little bit better layout. And to do this, I'm going to do exactly what I would do in the Silverlight client and just start telling Lightswitch how I want to do groupings and so forth. So we can go in and we could decide that the first thing I want to do is actually split this detail information into a set of columns. So we'll give it a column view, kind of like a column layout. Inside of here, we can then add some more groups. Maybe we want to do a couple rows would be good. Oops, pull you back up. Well, delete you there and add you up here. Okay, so we got a couple rows, and now we just start moving our data around and get it look the way we want. So maybe one of the things I want to do is let's get the street all the way up here so it's at the same level. Go ahead and pull into this other group. Let's go with get the city, maybe the postal code. Let's get the state above that. There we go. And then, in this group, let's add some things like maybe, let's get some of this out of the way. We don't need all of it. No, let's maybe keep the move type in here. And then maybe I want to go and let me delete these. Let's add some other information maybe that's not, doesn't appear to be first order information that I can have. Now, these are all things that you could do before, just showing you that it all still applies in the new world. So let's go in and let's say what we want to do is grab some other screen data, and we're going to say that what we want to grab is the customer, and let's grab their phone. Well, let's do the same again, grab some other screen data. Let's go customer, now let's do email address. Okay? So with that, we'll now get a little two-column layout and those kinds of things. Now, what we're going to see are probably some, my hunch is we're going to see some flow and layout bugs. So it may not look the best here, and we can fix that in a second. So drill in. Yeah, all right. Sort of got these goofy scroll bars down here. That's just weird. I expect those things are going to change, just to be fair. But just let me show you how you can continue annotating this layout and helping our layout engine understand what it is that you're looking for us to do. So one of the things I might want to do is get rid of the labels. They take up a lot of space. So let's just collapse them. We can also go in and play with the height. So let's not stretch it. That's probably good for that. Let's go into our rows. You'll see that these will inherit from above, just like they did before. So the layout positions are collapsed by default. Let's go deal with our width and so forth. So let's go ahead and set a width here to 250. And what that's going to do is set a minimum so that if I start going on smaller devices, what you're going to see is that we'll start flowing underneath rather than get a bunch of weird scroll bars inside the regions of the screen. So we'll do that. We'll turn that off. Let's also turn off the stretch on this guy. These should now be pretty close to the same. Let's turn that one off, and do the same here with our little 250 number. So just playing with a couple of them, let me go ahead and F5 it again and show you what kind of effect that has. So we see our appointments, we drill in. We see we've now still a couple little bugs in there that we got to work out, but the thing that you'll notice is if I go through here and I start shrinking this right below the minimum to maybe something that would be a smaller form factor, whether it's a slate that's been reoriented or something like a phone, we see the UI is still going to work because it just flowed itself correctly underneath there. Make sense? All right. So we've seen looking at data, but what about editing it? Right. Well, one of the things that's common in these applications we've found is that you kind of still have dialogues, right? You kind of have, when you're going to go edit a piece of data, usually it'll come up in what feels like a little dialogue, and you can go enter it and then dismiss it, right? So what you may notice here is we've added the concept of dialogues to a screen or to a page in the HTML client. So now I can go, was that a yay? Yeah. So this, what this will do is under the cover, it's just going to just do a little lightbox kind of implementation, right? So it looks like and feels like a modal screen inside the page. What's nice is that also gives you a single data context for that UI. So you can do transactions across multiple of these little dialogues that show up, have one big save at the parent, do saves incrementally, however you want to do it. We give you that context around all those things. So we'll get in, we'll add a dialogue. We can call it, you know, something like edit appointment maybe, so it has a little bit better name. Edit appointment. And then we just start adding the data we want to this. So what we'll do is let's switch this to be a column layout. And I'll just do a simple two-column UI here. So we got one, two rows, another group. And then we'll start adding data underneath it. So we can do the same gestures we had before. So if we wanted to, we can do kind of the drag and drop from our view model on the left. We can just pick data down here, whichever is your favorite way of operating. So I'm kind of an old WinForms guy, so and an old VB guy, so I'm a drag-drop person. Sorry. Hope nobody's offended. I also just dated myself a little bit, didn't I? Okay, so we got some stuff there. Let's go into the other group, and let's maybe go grab, you know, the street. Get into there. Oops, not up there. Oh, wow, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. Street, city, and postal code. How about we got a state. Let's put that in, too. Okay. So you see we've got those kind of things. We can do the same thing here that we did before, right? So if I want to add other screen data and say, let's go after you know, appointment.customer.phone, right? We can add that stuff in here as well, just like we did before. So you don't have to watch me fuss with this later. Let's go ahead and fix a couple of these settings right now as well. So we'll do the same kind of width kind of deal. So let's just do a min width here, something like 315. Don't stretch, horizontal alignment, let's keep that to the left. Height, let's do a minimum height. Actually, let's just do the stretchy guy and keep it at the top. Okay, so that's our dialogue. Now, the last thing I need to do is just put something together that lets me actually open that dialogue. So to do that, we'll go back up here into our main details area. Let's add a button. And again, just like you saw with the tap, what we're trying to do is just wire a few of these things up together for you, just prevent you from writing a little bit of code, right? And so what we're going to do is we're going to go show dialog, and we're going to show the edit appointment dialog, right? And let's go grab this button, give it a better display name. We'll call it edit. Edit. And now, if I did that correctly, we should now see the ability to go through, drill into an appointment, pull up a little dialog that allows me to edit the appointment, and start making changes to the data now. So now I'm going to have that full read as well as update capability in my application. So we'll drill into one of these. Oops, edit misplaced, but we can fix that. Now you see it's squished, and it's really squished. All right. Well, we'll fix that in a minute. Gives me an interesting time to show you one other aspect of this. So you see, as I'm going through over here, we have, because we're just HTML and JavaScript, we have the ability to interact with all of those new HTML, JavaScript, CSS tools in Visual Studio to figure out what's going on. So we can go in here, we can go into selection mode, we can go actually figure out, you know, if I select something, it's going to show me exactly where it is, right, in the HTML. You see that we are just using input boxes for input and that kind of stuff. We're not doing anything crazy. We're not wrapping these things with other alternate sort of UI presentations. We're using the native support, and we're using the support from jQuery Mobile. That also means as we finish building this out and we start implementing things like, you know, additional business types, and we do additional validation logic, everywhere we can, we will just emit that via the native markup. Right? So if we say that the input is email, then, you know, if you say tell us something is email, we will tag that as part of just the standard markup, and then based on your browser and your device, you will might get, you know, the Emailsoft keyboard, for example, that has .com and those things on it. Just through that mechanism, not additional code that we had to write. So anyway, just allows you to see what's going on here. Let's minimize some of these guys for a minute. You can see that it's really, we tried to also stay consistent with the HTML and so forth that we were emitting and make it, put it bluntly, human readable. I've used plenty of tools that emit stuff like this and, oh yeah, it's just HTML. Until you go look at it, and you're like, that's not any HTML I would have written. So we try to keep it as consistent as what you would have maybe authored by hand. Sure, we may throw a few extra divs and things like that in places just to make our lives easier, But it shouldn't be enough, it shouldn't be so much that it completely overwhelms you and looks completely foreign to you. It should be very recognizable and usable as part of what you're doing. Let me see. Let's do one quick check here with our UI, because I want to see. Make one quick edit. Stretch, no. Stretch, no. Alignment left. Vertical at top. Use same deal. There we go. No stretch. No stretch. Min width. Yeah, it may have done it. Could have sworn I did that before, didn't I? Let's try it one more time and see if it looks a little better. If not, we're going to move on. There we go. So you see, a lot better. And we should also see that, okay, we have a layout bug, right? That's just my bug. I'll fix that. But again, same thing. As the device reorients, as the viewport size changes, we try to flow things appropriately so it's still, you know, a workable and usable piece of UI there. So, and as I said, this is fully updatable, right? So now we can go and say, oh, it's actually a residential move. And you even see it behind there if you noticed it. If you look right over here to the left, you know, as I change this, you're going to see it's changing behind me there because all just data bounded the same thing. We'll say save it. We have our save button lit up. We say save again. Go out, come back in, and we'll see that we changed the move type, right? So now we've got the R and the U part of CRUD, right? We got retrieval and we got updates working in the HTML client. Ads, same thing. We actually have, you know, you saw we have templates for that. We could walk through that stuff as well. Same thing for delete. We could make those happen. So transaction capabilities, full update support, all those great things that you'd expect from a business app and from Lightswitch are all there as part of this HTML client as well. Just because, you're up too high. Let's move you one over. Just because that's going to bug me. Okay. So far what we've seen is the ability to go and leverage some existing services we'd already built as part of an existing Lightswitch Silverlight desktop application. We've got those displaying records as part of an HTML client. We've got drill down support into our data. We've got editing support, dialogue support, create and update, all that going on. And guess what? We didn't write any code yet, right? We just set some properties. We didn't write any code. Didn't see any JavaScript yet. So that, I think, is a pretty cool thing, at least to me. You guys don't think so? All right. Awesome. I like the word awesome. We'll work with that. Okay. So that's the basics. I mentioned we're early in the process. But in the end, we're still never probably going to 100% meet all of your you look and feel needs, right, out of the box. That's one of the downsides, right, one of the drawbacks of this approach. We're going to strive for making something look really good, really professional. You could deploy it, you feel proud of it, but we'll still probably find some places where you're going to want to customize and make things kind of your own. So let's start looking at how we could do that with the Lightswitch product. First thing everybody wants is a logo. You want your own logo, right? Well, what we can do, and now this is an experience, I'm going to put the caveat, I normally never do this, but I'm going to do it right now. You're going to see me switch between this logical and physical view a lot. That's no fun. Translation, we won't ship it that way. We will find a better way so you don't have to flip around to get some of these common tasks done. But right now, that's what's going to happen. So don't be too put off by that. Let's go into file view. You see we have the physical project structure here. One of the things that happened as part of adding the ability for multiple clients is you see that we've also trimmed down the number of projects we create for you. So we have a client, a server, and this mobile client. So there's your mobile client, there's your server. We still have the common project and the other one. In that mobile client, we wanted this to feel like, look like, and act like web development. So we are implementing the same naming conventions, the same patterns, the same layouts of the project structure that you would find if you went and created just an HTML app in Visual Studio as well, trying to keep it consistent. That also allows us to leverage things like NuGet, even in the Lightswitch experience. So if you want to start pulling in your favorite libraries, your favorite components, right, from maybe third parties, maybe from the ecosystem, right? You can just go in. If they have NuGet packages, you can pull them in, and all the right things will happen as part of that experience. I'll show you the manual way today. So let's go into content. Let's go into images. One of the things we have in here is this logo.png. Now, the way I get around the fact that I don't have a designer for hooking up and putting my own logo in right now is by going in and picking a logo that is named logo.png, overwriting it, and running it, and you will see that now I have a nice fancy little logo in my app. Are we going to ship it that way? Of course not. We'll give you the way to do it, but just showing you that, hey, we're thinking about it. So now you see my cool little orange truck logo there. Okay. Very simple. You guys are looking for more, I can tell. So let's get in and talk about how we go make some UI even more custom. That list. Let's talk about the list. What did LightSwitch do? Picked the summary field. Right now it's not even doing that. We don't have that wired up yet. It will do that. It will pick your, you know, what you said is the summary field or the default field for an entity. That it will do that. Right now it's picking the first string it could find, which in our case happens to be the street. I think is what I was seeing. That's probably not the most useful thing to see in that list, right? For most people, I don't think it would be. So let's go to our Serve Explorer. We'll switch back to our logical view. And we will go into our upcoming appointments screen. And when I go to my list, what I see here is I have the ability to go ahead and start interacting and writing some code. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to interact with this post-render event, which is effectively going to give me the ability to interact with the UI generation layer after we've done all of our work. And we can hand over to you and say, okay, we're done with what we wanted to do. Did you want to do anything else to this? And now I can go interact and start adding my own customizations. When we had the preview build available, one of the things I will tell you is that the coding experiences, we're still working on implementing all of the hook points in it. So there's only a couple right now. Those aren't the full set. We will be adding more. But it's enough to get you a feel for kind of where we're going. So in here, I can start writing some code. I can just write some basic JavaScript. So we'll just go, what I want to do is re-template this UI. So we'll go in here and we're going to do our standard, you know, JavaScript-y kind of thing. Div. Create a div for ourselves. And then let's go ahead and start creating like a title. And what do you guys want to put in the title? Should we do, you want customer name? We can do customer name. How do you want it formatted? First name, space, last name, comma, first name? Either one? All right. So let's go ahead and say, to do that, we'll just go in here, we're going to grab content item dot value dot customer dot first name. So there's our first name. We did first name, so we'll do first name space last name. Went down that path. The same thing over here, content item dot value dot customer last name. See, IntelliSense is a little slow right now. It'll catch up to me at some point, and that thing will go away at some point. How about we just start there? Oh, sorry. Thanks, good catch. Free drink on me in the expo hall tonight for that one. All right. So we've got a title. Let's go ahead and create a subtitle. We'll call it subtitle. And for this one, how about we do, let's just grab the actual time of the appointment. Right? So we'll go span, new content item dot value dot start date. Oops, plus. Boom, boom. Okay, so we've got our content built up, and now all we need to do is just go through and say, okay, let's take the title and let's append that to our item template. And then we'll take the subtitle, append that to our item template as well. And then we'll take our item template that we just built up, append that to the actual element that was passed into us. All right? Look good? You guys aren't going to tell me anyway, are you? So we'll run it again. And now we've done is we've gone in and we just grabbed values, grabbed elements out of that. And what we should see is that list now is going to be formatted with the customer's name and then no. And not. Where did I hook you up to? Appointment render. Oh, oops. My bad. Sorry. Something different. What we really went to do in this case was completely take over the appointment. So sorry. Instead of using this list, right, or in here, instead of using the actual list item, we're going to go and implement it via a custom control. And this allows me to take full control of what's in here. And I can leave these, I can delete them, whatever. In this case, we just implement the entire render. And we just do a little copy-paste work here. And now, when I run this, what we should see is a list that looks different. There we go. Pity claps, I appreciate it. Okay, so we've gone through and we've done that. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but let's bring it up again real quick. The default formatting for a date in jQuery is, well, how do I say this politely? Verbose, right? So boy, it'd be nice if we could trim that down a little bit. Now, it just so happens that I could go out and I could do some searching and I find that, you know, one of the great things about web development and HTML and JavaScript development is there are really strong community developers out there that are really into sharing what they've created and sharing their libraries of stuff. So I did a little search earlier and I actually found that somebody had gone and implemented a pretty good set of utilities around manipulating and formatting dates in JavaScript. So I'm going to go back over to File View. Go back into my scripts folder here, and I'm just going to add this existing script that I downloaded, called it Date Extensions, into my project. And I can open it up if you want to see it. It's just a bunch of, you know, additional functions. It adds a little format routine and so forth to give me ways of just doing date formatting within JavaScript. So I've added this library to my project. Next thing I'll do is I'm going to go into the default HTM here, and include that library, basically tell the project that I want to use that. So we'll add a new script tag, type equals JavaScript. And then we'll set the source. And if you haven't seen it before, right, just like I would with anything else I'm doing with web development, I just come in here, you know, use the pickers where I want to, type it where I want to, get completion where I need it, all that kind of fun stuff, and include that date extension. Now it's available to me, so I can go back over here to my renderer method, and we can add and take advantage of that in here. So now I can go in here and say format, and we'll specify the format characters I want. So let's just grab the hour and minute, and we'll do the short kind of AM, PM thing, right? Now that I have that, why don't we also just go add the end date in here as well? So we'll just say content item.value. End date, and we'll format that. And now what we should get is the ability to actually see that, and we'll see the customer's name plus the start and end date of their start and end time of their appointment. Woohoo! Right? All just pulling in some JavaScript that I found thoroughly evaluated, validated off the web, and included in my project. And this is a great example of where, you know, if we had NuGet hooked up right now, we could go out and we could be searching even through like the NuGet gallery for things and pulling them in that way and having them included. And then NuGet can do the fancy things like get the file in the right location and go modify other source files if it needs to, right, to include stuff. Okay, so we've seen how we can go do some things using just straight brute force kind of JavaScript. We've seen how we can go and do leverage some existing libraries as part of our experience to pull some things in. How about we go and actually start looking at what we might be able to do with CSS? I mentioned that CSS was a full part of this as well. So to do that, I'm going to go back over here to my Solution Explorer. You see I'm still in the file view. Under content, you see we've got a lot of CSS already in here. One of the things that you may have noticed, I'm running on a more recent build than Jason was this morning. And my build, which is as of Friday, so it's hot off the press for you. I gotta be current for you guys. We included a dark theme in addition to a light theme when we set it as the default. So that's why you see I'm coming up a little bit darker than what Jason's doing. Well, that's all just in the product. And it will be even more thoroughly commented than it is now. Idea being, if you want to pick up one of our dark or light themes as a starting point and just keep going, you can do that. We'll make it easy for you, or trying to make it easy for you. We're also completely compliant with things like Theme Roller, if you've ever used that. I don't know if folks are familiar with that, but you could go out to Theme Roller and basically using, if nothing else, the comments that we have in here for the more specialized pieces, you will know exactly what you need to do to go style things via Theme Roller, generate the CSS, pull it down, include it in your project, and you're off and running, right? So trying to be as open as possible with all of those things. So let's just take a look at maybe a brute force way again of doing some styling. If you remember in the keynote, Jason's list looked different after he made some modifications than mine, right? He had this more tiley format to his list. So let's go ahead and create that. Let me show you what was involved in doing that. So do that, we're going to add a new item, we'll add a new style sheet. We'll call it tilelist.css. Then we'll go in and we'll start adding some CSS to actually make this work. So what we're going to do is grab the unordered list items, and that'll be the first thing we're going to style. So now I'm just using the new the improvements in the CSS editor that ship in Visual Studio. So nothing LightSwitch specific here, just trying to show that what's in Visual Studio is there. It's one of the great benefits of LightSwitch being part of kind of Visual Studio Professional and Premium and Ultimate going forward. Everything that we do for web developers in that case applies and accrues to you as a LightSwitch developer. So you don't have to learn anything new, no new skills and that kind of stuff. So let's do some basic stuff here. We'll set the width. We'll make that 100%. We'll set a padding. Let's do maybe 10 on that. And then the big thing we want to do is set the get the display going here, and we'll say we want this to be an inline block. Got a typo on. Oh, thank you. Yeah, see, even statement completion can't save me. And then we're going to really make sure we get that one in there. Okay, so that took care of our unordered list. The last thing we'll do is do our list items, right? And in here, we're just going to say, the style type, list style type. Set that to none. Do a little margin work. Some width. What do I think? 300, yeah. Height. And then so that it flows correctly, what we're going to do is we're going to float it to the left and again. All right, so we've got a style sheet here. Save that in our project. Go back over to our default.htm. Link that style sheet in. CSS, href, equal, and we'll go pick the URL again, pick it again from our project. So we'll go into our content and grab our tile list.css. Close that off. Okay, so we've got it incorporated. Last thing we need to do, I'm going to switch back to the logical view for this. Bring back up our list screen. And this time, we're going to go to the list, and we go to the post render method that we accidentally used last time. And go ahead and just actually do the longhand. You could do the shorthand for this as well if you wanted to, but I think just for the purpose of today, it's a little bit easier to see what we're actually doing. So we're going to find all unordered lists, and then we're going to add our tile list class to that. All right, if we did that one right, what did I botch this time? I'm in post render. That's right. I bet I botched this. Let's try it again. Yeah, I did. I put a dot in there, didn't I? You guys didn't stop me. I'm just going to assume that you guys are the same level of CSS experts that I am. And that's why you love light switch, and that's why you didn't catch it. All right. So there we go. Now we see our list styled, right? We're going big. Well, that's as big as we get on this screen today. We go small, right? Things flow nicely, and they're workable. Now, this is probably as good a time as any to take a little pause and talk about an aspect of that design point. We really were thinking about predominantly slates when we were sort of designing the product, right? That's the form factor we're thinking about. So you'll see good defaults for things like this and things like this. Now, we realize that it is just HTML and JavaScript. It is just jQuery Mobile. We know people want to use it on all kinds of devices, and that's why we are going to do what we can to make it feel good on something that's more like this, right, which would be a phone. But we're not trying to be a one-size-fits-all app. In my experience, those don't work great. I mean, a lot of cases, I admit, I do have a device with a fruit on the back of it. And when you try to use an app that was built for the really thin one on the really thick one, that just kind of sucks, right? Like, you want it to take the whole screen. You want it to be really rich and immersive in there. But you know what? If all they have is the one and it's all you have available, okay, it'll get you through in a pinch. So that's, I want to do better than a pinch, but that's the idea, is it's going to be workable on any form factor. We've optimized for the viewport that is most common in a tablet or a slate-sized form factor. But again, it's just templates, right? It really is mostly driven by the templates you use. So if you know you're going to go do something for a mobile phone, well, then you either hope that I get around to building mobile phone-specific templates, or you know, maybe our partner ecosystem will go create some mobile phone-specific tablets. There's nobody in the room that works for a component partner, by the way. sorry, man, I had to do it. but maybe that's something they'll do. Maybe the ecosystem as a whole will just go create some slightly different variations on these templates that work really well in those form factors, and you can make them work. We do have the logic inside of LightSwitch to detect viewports as best we can and screen resolution sizes. So we will, you know, pick up on and probably expose some ways for you to hook in so that if you do want to create a one-size-fits-all app but use different screens in some places, you'll have the ability to do that. Okay, so we've seen some basic stuff here. We've seen how we can go interact with writing some JavaScript and doing brute force HTML manipulation to go and get some formatting that we want and some layout we want. We've seen how we can pull in CSS to do that. Let's go one step further and do something a little bit more interesting. How about, since this is going to be something that our partners, our contractors are going to use on site, maybe they want to have a map of the location as well. So what if we try to pull in a Bing map into this? That's a little more complicated, right? Yeah, enough to make me sweat up here, so that's cool. I was hoping you guys would say, nah, it's not interesting, let's not do it. Okay, so I've already gone ahead and downloaded a couple things on my machine. So I'm going to switch to file view again. I'm going to go back into our mobile client. I'm going to pull in two things here. First, I'm going to add a style sheet for Bing Maps. It's mostly what you could download. I did tweak a few things just to make it feel a little better with the LightSwitch client. So we added that, and then we added the big JavaScript file that is most of the interaction with that map. So with that, let's go into our HTML and do what the next thing we need to do is let's go add our link. Link rel style sheet type CSS href. So we'll pick that from our content. Bing maps. Okay, and then we'll go add, kind of include that JavaScript as well. So grab our maps. And then the last thing I need to do, and I'm not going to type this, it's a little nasty, is also pull in, oops, wrong one, not that. Sort of a reference to the virtual earth kind of control, right? So that's all that last line I did was one more thing you need to actually make that stuff work. Okay, so we've got that. Let's go into our logical view, pull up our appointment detail. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add one more row here. We're just going to add it as a custom control. Actually, no, let's not do it there. Let's pull it out. Let's see if this works. And we'll call it, let's give it a name so we know what it is. We'll call it map. Okay? Now, this is the way you go pull in stuff, right? You saw me do it before when I took over the entire layout of the list. So now I'll go in here, go write code, we'll grab our render code, and now we need to go and actually do some serious JavaScript coding. So I got about, I don't know, probably 40, 50 lines of JavaScript code I'm going to bang out here real quick. Just kidding. Don't you guys wish you could write code as fast as I can? So the next thing we'll do, since we're going to run out of time here in a little bit, let's go into our toolbox. I'm going to declare a couple variables that I need just for keeping things sort of in my head. And really, if I do this right, all I need to do is call my underlying update map control and just pass in, you know, the element and the content item that I got. Now, this is code that I wrote, right? This is part of my stuff that I wrote down here. So update map, this is what it's doing, right? It's doing a bunch of stuff. And it's really ugly code, right, because I got tired of trying to factor it and make it look nice. So in order for it to interact correctly when the thing is being moved, I just moved it around again. So I apologize for that. I'll clean it up one of these days. So we do that. Let's go ahead and let ourselves know when we last updated this. So we're going to say map last updated equals new date. And then I can also take advantage of a set of helper utilities that are available from the Lightswitch JavaScript itself to help me do some rebinding when things move around or in case people change values. So if someone edits the street address in that detail form, I can update the map accordingly. So what we're going to do is there's a little sort of set of code in here, MSLS, which is our Microsoft Lightswitch JavaScript library that we used to do our work. And because it's there in just JavaScript, it's available to you as well. So what it has is it's got a bind method or a rebind bind method on it that we can call and just pass in, you know, the content item that we want, what it is we want to do the binding on. So in this case, maybe we want to bind the street. And then, you know, pass in a little function here where we'll say, you know, rebind map, and we'll pass in the element and the content item, right? Oops, not that. That. Should be good. So this isn't rebind, this is bind. Okay, and then we can just do this a few more times. So we got street, city, zip. I think that's all I need. So we get street, do the same thing for city, and the same thing for postal code. Okay. Anybody want to place a bet on whether this is going to work? There's another fact that you guys don't know about. I've been testing this a little bit. One thing you should know if you're going to go against Bing. Every now and then Bing thinks that because you're hitting the map a lot, maybe you're actually trying to do a denial of service attack against the map. So it just shuts you off. So every now and then this thing will work, but it'll be black because I hit it too much. And this is not going to work. Yeah, when I come in here, it's going to be all nasty. Yep, error. All right. We're low on time, so let me do something for you. Because you got to see that working. So let's see if we can go. No. Pull up another version. The last one I did before you guys walked in the room. Honestly. Little demo tip for you. If you ever do demos, underscore completed, it's your friend. Especially when you do live coding demos. Okay. Let's try this one and see if that works, because that was kind of the last thing I wanted to show you guys. Appears happier. Drill in. There we go. I got the courtesy one of these from the front. I appreciate that. So you see that we've also gone, and because we've, you know, because I did that little hack of duplicating some code when and hooking the window handle, when we resize this, we will also reposition the map and rebind it and get that, you know, point in the center there. So just to show you that it's not all the same, we'll go grab somebody else. Okay, that was the same. That one's different. cool. All right, so that kind of at the basics is what we're looking at as far as sort of demos and kind of the way that light switch experience is working for the HTML client. So, Bruce, this is, you know, what you saw. Design time experience, we wanted to keep it consistent. So leveraging the same experience, same paradigms you knew when you were doing the desktop client, apply them to the HTML client as well. So you still have your view model on the left. It's really the way I think about this portion of the screen, right? That's really your view model. You have your content tree on the right that is just telling us what do you want to see in there, where, what commands do you want to place, and so forth. We have included and enhanced ourselves to support a set of common patterns. So you saw me demonstrate the dialogue concept, right, using kind of that you know, Lightbox UI pattern that is popular in jQuery. But again, we also wanted to keep that design experience consistent. So one of the things that we didn't do a good job in V1 is when we had dialogues, we made it very hard for you to actually go do anything with them other than what we generated, right? And so that's why we implemented this dialogue concept here, so you could actually go and design those dialogues yourself, add and remove UI, whatever you need to do. Wanted to make it possible to customize what you were showing by, you know, writing just HTML and JavaScript, so doing a little bit of that brute force thing. I do expect that you'll see us improve the IntelliSense experience so you won't have as much blind typing as I had to do when we actually ship the product. We do know how we can make that happen. As well as going and looking at, you know, how we can go and incorporate sort of that plus CSS. So you could go and take this and open it up in something like Blend or your favorite HTML and CSS tool and actually go do some design in there as well and drop it back in. Most of this UI, right, obviously is being generated on the client at runtime, but we try to feed in the right set of templating logic or CSS kind of logic and do that in a format that is native so you can design it in the tools you want to. And so that's why I've started saying that I feel Light Switch for 2012 plus the addition of this HTML client is the easiest way to create modern line of business applications for the enterprise. With that, the obligatory resources that are on here. I think we are going to have a couple minutes for questions if you guys want. More resources. We got a lot of resources for you guys. Don't forget to complete your evaluation. Here's the little scan tag. Remember, with the evaluations, scores are for my boss, comments are for me. Just kidding. No. Seriously, you guys have been great, so I'm going to give you guys all high scores. Don't feel obligated. No, just kidding. All right. With that, that's what I want to show you guys. I hope you guys are excited as I am about the fact that where we're taking this product, the ability to go and create these HTML experiences that run incredibly well on Windows devices, but will also run very well on Android, iOS, and those kind of devices as well. So with that, I got a few minutes, so if you want to ask questions, why don't you go ahead and come on up. But otherwise, have a great week here at TechEd. And I'll be roaming around down in the booth area, so catch me wherever you want. Thanks a lot.